Today, I'm going to talk about You Thought Evil, But God Meant Good. The background is Jacob reunited with Joseph in Egypt. There was this period of famine in Egypt and Canaan, and Joseph was the prime minister, and he disclosed his identity to all his brothers who came to him in Egypt for food. And finally, the brothers brought Jacob to Egypt, and therefore they were reunited. So the whole family, Jacob, Joseph, and the brothers, and all the remnant of the Jewish people stayed on in Egypt, and Jacob was then promoted to glory. And thereafter, there was a funeral procession to bring Jacob's body back to Canaan, where he requested to be buried in the place of his father and his father's father. So, what happened then? An interesting event happened. Let me read to you in Genesis chapter 50:14-21. And Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." So after the whole funeral and the burying of Jacob, you know, the brothers were still fearful. What if now Joseph take revenge against us? The father is not around to protect the brothers anymore. And so they were fearful. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying." So he sent some sort of a message to Joseph that Jacob commanded this before he died, saying, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. So the message is basically asking Joseph to forgive his brothers who had did evil to Joseph when Joseph was young. You know, they threw him into a pit and wanted to leave him to die, and finally sold him to the slave trader, and that's how he got to Egypt. And so the brothers were trying to pacify Joseph that, "No, look, Jacob, our father, left this message for you that you must forgive us, for we did you harm much earlier." So when Joseph heard this, Joseph wept and spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and he said, "Behold, we be thy servants." So the brothers were also very fearful, and they fell down, bowed down, and said, "We are willing to be your servants," because they rather be servants than be in jail or be executed. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Let me repeat this saying of Joseph. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Don't have to be afraid of me. Am I God? Am I in a position of God? Well, it's a rhetorical question to be answered. No. Yeah, he is not in the place of God. He's not acting as God. Yeah. So that is what he wanted to tell his brothers. He's not God. and he is not going to judge and avenge against them. But as for you, so he's now talking about his brothers, as for you, he thought evil against me. You, all of you, were against me and wanted a bad outcome for me, for Joseph. I wanted Joseph to die and ultimately sold him as slave. But God meant it unto good. Yeah, even that evil thing which the brothers thought of against Joseph and acted against Joseph, pushing him into the pit and selling him off to Egypt, was meant to be good by God. God meant it unto good. Why? To bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Because he was thrown into the pit and sold to Egypt as a slave, he became prime minister and saved Jacob, the brothers, and many people. So it was all part of God's great plan and design. The evil which the brothers did was also within God's great plan. And Joseph was very astute. He was able to understand this and say this to his brothers. And there you are, Joseph and his brothers. And Joseph telling his brother, fear not, he's not God. He's not going to punish them for what they have done. That's talking about himself, Joseph. Yeah, he's not going to punish and avenge because he himself is not God. But as for his brothers, they did the wicked thing. Yeah, and they did the wicked thing of wanting to kill Joseph and ultimately selling him as a slave. But God meant it for good that he became prime minister in Egypt and subsequently saved the brothers, Jacob, and everybody else. So, Joseph never intended to use his power against his brothers. Joseph was conscious that God was the one who judged and avenged, not him. Because if you read what he said, fear not to his brothers. Do not fear him, for am I in the place of God? Am I God? Am I going to punish you as God, who has the right to punish? God is the judge. Yeah. So Joseph was very wise. And because of his closeness to God, Joseph knows that ultimately God is the judge and God is the one who metes out punishment, not Joseph. So this famous saying, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Is to be answered, no. Joseph is not in the place of God, and he has no right to punish, no right to judge. Only God has the right, is the righteous judge, and God has the right to avenge. So Joseph understood that God ruled over all circumstances, including evil ones. He saw that his brothers intended evil to come upon him by throwing him into a pit and selling him to slave traders. But God ruled over the event for good, for Joseph to go ahead to Egypt and subsequently become prime minister to save Jacob and family from famine. Yeah, so he thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. The evil was the brothers wanted to kill him and ultimately sold him to the slave traders. God meant it unto good. God meant this whole event for Joseph to go to Egypt ahead of the family so that he could become prime minister and ultimately save Jacob and the family, including the brothers. So God meant it for good. So I have designed something for easy understanding. This is a pictorial representation of evil and good. So if you look, there are two circles here. The big circle is where it represents God meant it unto good, the big circle. And inside this big circle, there is a smaller circle. He thought evil. And that's where Joseph met his evil, met the brothers, did all the terrible things with him. So in this first picture, you see Joseph being thrown into a pit. Yeah. So the brothers wanted to kill him in the pit. And ultimately, in the second picture, they took him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelite slave traders. Yeah, sold him off as a slave. So all these events is within the brothers who thought evil upon Joseph, wanted to kill him and ultimately sold him as a slave. But then, as events went on, God is working his great design and his great plans, putting it into motion. And slowly, Joseph became prime minister. And because he was prime minister, he had the visions from God that there was going to be 7 years famine after the 7 years of plenty. And he knew what God wanted him to do. He stored up a lot of food. And finally, when the famine came, the brothers came from Canaan to buy food from him. He was able to save the brothers and the family. So ultimately, God meant it unto good. All these terrible events that Joseph went through in his early years was part of God's great design, that it is meant to save life. And good came out of it all. Then subsequently, again, I show you, this is another great event in biblical history. Again, you have the smaller circle. He thought evil. Here is slavery of the Jews in Egypt. Yeah? So that is the evil here. That the Egypt thought evil against the Jewish people, and they made them slaves to work for the Egyptians. And ultimately, we know how the story went. God sent Moses and led the 2 million Jewish people out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea by a great miraculous event where God parted the Red Sea and the Jewish people went across the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh and the soldiers pursued across the Red Sea, God caused the sea to come upon the Pharaoh's army and destroyed Pharaoh's army. So ultimately, it meant good because now it is enshrined in scripture, the faithfulness of God. The Jewish people went through hundreds of years of slavery and God delivered them and even made them pass the parted Red Sea. And God protected them and defeated Pharaoh through the 10 plagues. And the great Pharaoh had to admit defeat to the great God of the Jews. And time and again, you read the Old Testament, God will remind the Jewish people, remember Egypt, how I have saved you, how I was faithful to you. Remember Egypt, how I delivered you. And now it is part of Holy Scripture to us, of the faithfulness of God, that they went through a very difficult period of slavery and God was faithful in delivering them. So he thought evil, God meant it unto good. Because now the Jewish people will look back and say, yes, God has been faithful. And we Christians, when we look back at that event, it is also a historical event of God's faithfulness to his people in delivering them from slavery, oppression, and suffering. Then we come to Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And of course, we all know the story of Apostle Paul, how he was a great missionary. And on the road to Damascus, Christ appeared to him in great light. And because of that meeting, he was a changed man. He was Paul and no more Saul. And he became the great missionary and evangelist. And he went around Asia Minor, Greece, to evangelize. And the Jews were hot on his heel. The Judaizers were hot on his heel and wanted to kill him, imprison him, subject him to a lot of pain and suffering. And he was bound in chain many a times, shipwrecked, and suffered many painful events. So he thought evil, the Judaizers. But because of Paul's suffering and his voyages, first, second, and third missionary journeys, there was proselytization of the Christian faith to everybody worldwide. And his work became part of scripture in the Acts. And not only that, we have the Pauline epistles all recorded as holy scripture for us today. And we are able to read of Paul's work and how God has been faithful to him despite all his pain and suffering. God delivered him and he did fantastic work in evangelism. So despite all the evil that he went through, God meant it unto good. All Christians now have Paul's life, his work, his missionary journey, and his faith. And it is a great inspiration to all Christians of what Paul has done and how God has been faithful to him. Again, it shows God's faithfulness, and God meant it unto good, despite the evil that Paul went through. And of course, the most important and supreme example is none other than Jesus Christ. You remember how Christ was also hunted down by the Judaizers, the Pharisees, Sadducees. They didn't want Christ because here was a person who was able to command the respect of so many Jewish people, and they wanted to kill Christ. So the Judaizers, the Pharisees thought evil against Christ, and they sent him to the cross. And because he went to the cross willingly, he now, because of his death, gave us eternal lives. Without Christ dying and resurrection, there will be no eternal lives for all of us. So the Judaizers intended harm to Christ. By his death, he saved many lives. God meant it unto good. All our sins are now cleansed and washed by the blood of Christ because he willingly died on the cross. Because he has cleansed us of all our sins, we have eternal lives today. So the Judaizers thought evil upon Christ, sent him to death on the cross, and by his death, he saved us. He saved many lives and gave us eternal life. God meant it unto good. So what are the spiritual lessons? First, contemplate on our own lives whether this phrase, ye thought evil, but God meant good, applies to our lives. How in past circumstances we were bullied, oppressed, and it led to a good outcome. I'm sure you, as Christians, you will have come across a number of such events in your own life. And it should not come as a surprise to you, because this is what Joseph said. He thought evil, but God meant good. And this is how God works in our lives. So we should not be fearful, because God is in control, even of the difficult circumstances. God is in control. Joseph, the many difficulties that he went through, was under the control of God. Ultimately, he became prime minister and saved his family. Even Jacob, that we studied, went through many difficulties in his lives, and but God protected him, and he did not lose his life in any of those events. And Jacob realized that and praised and thanked God. And because it was God who were in control of those events in Jacob's lives, no matter how difficult they may be. And ultimately, good came out of it. Jacob was reunited with Joseph in Egypt. And we can all read about the faithfulness of God to Jacob and Joseph in Scripture. So, God meant it unto good. So even of myself, if I may share, of my jobs, because most of our lives are taken up in our jobs. Two-thirds of our life is in office. So the first job that I would like to share is, I call it Job S1. I stayed long in that job, and I was all right. I can do the work. I delivered my work reasonably well, but because of constant changes at top management, changes in chairman, board, number of changes, the management was also changed. There is this fondness that when a new chairman comes in, he changed the CEO. When the CEO is changed, a new CEO comes in, he gets his own people to join the management and remove the old management team. I was at the stage where a new chairman came in, a new CEO then brought in a new boss for me. And the new boss for me wanted me out. So put a lot of pressure, a lot of work on me, forcing me to resign. And ultimately, I did, because it was breaking point. Yeah. And I tendered my resignation. And the day I tendered my resignation, as I was driving out of the office, news came on in the car. Oh, Lehman Brothers scandal has caused worldwide recession. So I thought to myself, oh, what a terrible time to resign. Nobody wants to resign during a recession. Everybody holds on to their job. I just tendered my resignation on the day of recession. Not just recession in Singapore, there was a global recession. So that affected me. The evil that came upon me. Yeah. I went ahead and I went with my wife to the UK. She was on a sabbatical. So I was without a job. So naturally, I accompanied her. And that was the best time of my life. God meant good. A prolonged holiday for me. I've never had a long period of time where I was without work, no responsibility, no mental stress. And it was just a lovely time of rest, of recuperation from all the years of very hard work, great demands from the bosses. And of course, the final few months was very bad, yeah, because naturally, because they were implementing the push factor. But that push factor, the evil, was meant by God to be good. I was pushed to UK and had a prolonged holiday. Every other day, I would be cycling to the beautiful countryside. You know, the British villages and the countryside, it's lovely to visit. And I had a good rest. So, an example of, he thought evil, but God meant good. When I came back from UK, naturally, I would be looking for a job. And God was very good. He put a job right in front of me. I didn't take long to get a job. And I went into the company, and it was another difficult job. Boss was very, very demanding. It was like a 24/7 job. Late at night, 9 p.m., email message were coming to the BlackBerry. This question, that query, do this, do that, at 9 p.m. every night. And I was supposed to respond by BlackBerry. If I did not, there would be a SMS to me. Why didn't I respond to the BlackBerry? So it was tremendous mental stress. At 10 p.m., yeah, there would be questions why I didn't respond to my BlackBerry. So again, it was very difficult, and ultimately, point of near breakdown, I tendered my resignation. And so I left again without a job. It was another grievous push factor. And so this time, because of the tremendous stress, I took a few months off without work, just taking life slow, going for daily exercise, trying to recover my physical and mental health. 6 months passed. Suddenly, there was a call from a friend that I've not spoken with for years. He is still part of the university. And he says, I understand that you are available, and would you be able to come in to teach in the university? And the reason is because a present lecturer has resigned, and they need someone in to fill this position to teach this particular module. And that module is the area in which is my forte. And it was just God-given. And I accepted the offer, and I started teaching in NUS. God gave me a job. I didn't even write in to apply for a job. It was a phone call, and that was it. He thought evil, hard taskmaster of the CEO. God meant good, because God was moving me to a new place in the university. And it was a better place, better welfare, better relationship with colleagues and boss, more quality life in the university. So, yes, looking back, I'm just amazed at what Joseph has said. He thought evil, but God meant good. Applied to many parts of my life, applied to my life, basically. So what do we do? Our part as God's people. How do we continue to be on God's side and to enjoy the blessings of God? We have to walk closely with God in prayer and reading of the word daily. We have to put aside time to meditate on God's word and to pray. And to, just as you relate to your father, you're close to your father, you tell him about your fears, your worries, your concern, and also your happiness, how your boss have praised you and appreciated your work, and also your many concerns and worries. Do things which please God. If you can serve in the church, yes, please serve. If you can counsel someone, please counsel. There are many things that you can do to please God. Yeah? Flee from sin. And no one is perfect. We all have our rough side, our weakness, our flaws. And we must try to sort of weed away all these weaknesses and flaws. They were given to telling lies, remove telling lies. Lust of the flesh, remove lust of the flesh. Pride, remove pride. And always be humble. Always look after those who are marginalized and disadvantaged, and show kindness to others. Don't take revenge. Of course, if we talk about Joseph, we must bring in don't take revenge. Joseph didn't take revenge against his brothers. He knew he has no right. Only God has the right to take revenge. And he said to his brother, am I in the place of God? You have no fear that he will take revenge against his brothers after the death of the father of Jacob. He knows full well that God will not be pleased if he does that. So it is the same with us. We know what we should do, what we ought not to do. And if you do that which you should do and do not those things which you ought not do, you'll be all right. So let us end in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson. We thought evil, but God meant good. For truly, Lord, our lives have been shaped by many evil events. But ultimately, it was for good, because Thou art a faithful God. Thou afflicts and Thou restore. And I'm truly thankful and glad that Thou art a faithful and loving God and loving Heavenly Father. So we pray for our sins. For Thou knowest that we are of ash and dust, and sins are always before us. We pray for Thy mercy. Cleanse us of all our sins, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Forgive us. Teach us not to just seek that forgiveness by our lips, but by our actions. Leave our sins and never turn back to it. That Thou will continue to bless us and we will have fellowship with Thee. Thy loving kindness and Thy goodness. And that we will continue to heed Thy still small voice and do Thy will. That Thou will be pleased with us. So teach us, Lord, as we read scripture, that we glean spiritual lessons that we may apply it to our lives. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Hello, students of Adult Sunday School at the Sanctuary. I'd like to make a few announcements regarding the Sunday School going forward. The lesson on Abraham will end on 3rd of July, because that is the end of Genesis, and I've covered Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and that ends it. And going on, there will be a new series on the spiritual lessons from the life of David. You see this iconic picture of David and his harp, and how he looks after his lamb in the pasture. That will be a photo of my Sunday school lesson on the life of David. And the first topic is the Lord rejects Saul, and that will be taught the following Sunday, 10th July 2022, at 9:40 a.m. in the Sanctuary. Please note that there will be no pre-video recording for this Sunday school. That means on 10th July, when you go to RTL Adult Sunday School, you will not see a pre-recorded video of this first lesson on David. What happens is that the first lesson I will be teaching in the Sanctuary, and then A few days later, it gets uploaded on RTL. So you get to watch the lesson only after my physical lessons in the sanctuary. So this is how it will be going forward. Yeah, there will be no video upload before that Sunday. It is my physical lessons in sanctuary for that lesson. And then it is recorded live, as in recorded. And then subsequently, a few days later, it gets uploaded on RTL for students to view. So I would like to invite you to come for the lesson. My first lesson on David is on 10th July, 9:40 a.m. So my last lesson on Jacob is on 3rd July, this coming Sunday. So please pray that it will be edifying to all and that we will all be able to apply various spiritual lessons to our lives and get much blessing from the Lord. I thank you. Bye.